All right, well, let's go ahead and get started. It's 6:07. Let's kick off the May 13th Stanley Lake Boating Task Force meeting. Angie, would you mind taking the roll call?
Gary?
Present.
Megan?
Present.
Steve?
Present.
Tammy?
Present.
Wade?
Present. And then there's a copy of, well, the agenda here. Are there any additions or edits to the agenda?
Looks fine to me as well.
Yeah. Okay, so we're all good with the agenda. Let's move on to the approval of the minutes. I have a couple of just little spelling things. Number three, Angie, we need an A for amended minutes. And then in number four, Britt, I believe, is with two T's.
Yes.
That's all I saw. Are there any other edits to last meeting's minutes?
Looks good.
Okay.
Okay. I agree.
Yep. All right. So for old business, first item we had on there was update on miscellaneous action items from the May 2 meeting, the last meeting we had. I've got a couple of updates. I did drop off. I got a sample from the Friends of Stanley Lake at the last meeting, and I did drop that off with Colorado Parks and Wildlife staff before they went off to the national meeting last week. I have not heard back from that meeting. Elizabeth Brown is in Wilderness area right now, so she's unreachable. But I do have some an email into her, among others, before this one. And that brings me to my second update, is I was going to try to schedule a time that there could be a demo for the new tagging system with Colorado Parks and Wildlife staff. So I'm planning on doing a doodle poll, but I was just wondering for you guys, evenings, days, what works best for doing a demo for Colorado Parks and Wildlife staff?
I'm pretty flexible, so I just get a word of words for you guys. I don't know. Work around.
So you can even do during the like a work week?
Yeah.
During day hours? Okay.
Sure.
I'm going to touch base with them. I might put together a doodle poll and send that out to you guys as well. And
okay. Location, if you do that, let's coordinate the location, because like we did the one at Tommy's, that was useful because we had boats right there.
Okay.
If we have to bring boats to them, we have to get four or five of us to go. But we can make that happen. We just need to know what time, date, and place is.
Okay.
We can help tow boats for you too. Like if we're driving to Parks and Wildlife, it's no problem. We'll help tow a couple things as long as we know ahead of time, so you guys don't have to do all of it.
Yeah, and usually Alan, and I mean, there's now enough of those around.
Yeah.
So we can all coordinate.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Okay, so I will work on that after this meeting. I know that they want to get more than just a couple of their staff. They want to get numerous of their staff to take a look at this. So those are the two updates I had to follow up on at the last meeting. Was there anything else that anybody had? I don't remember seeing anything in the minutes.
Would you like one more peanut gallery suggestion?
If you have that, can you come up here and... speaking to the microphone?
Absolutely. So we just met with Holly a couple minutes ago, and what we will recommend here is that we're going to build you guys a bunch of representative suggested real tag strings of wire.
Okay.
So that people can actually look at something that's semi like we would do it in the field. We don't have enough resources to do that because we don't own many of those nuts. Very few. We've got like a handful, five. So we're going to coordinate through Jason with Holly to potentially build a representative group of well-tagged samples.
Okay.
That you guys could distribute. You could, I mean, I'm almost embarrassed that you gave one to Elizabeth, because nothing we have is production looking. You know what I mean? We were just trying to show people, hey, you could do it like this. So we'll do several of those examples and put them in you guys' hands so you can have people tear after them. And as long as we're not expecting to get, we'll need to get the tags back to Holly, but at some point they can be destroyed, defeated, whatever, don't care. But she'll know what the serial numbers were.
Okay. And did you guys have some aluminum?
Absolutely. So the ones we give you will be as close to production as we can get.
Okay.
We're going to try some with stainless steel, on stainless steel, so the swage and the wire need to match, and some with aluminum on aluminum, none with lead, and all of them will have some combination of the real red nuts
The seals that they use. Okay.
Yeah. So good live production samples, knowing.
Okay.
Not hacks out of our shoebox here.
Great. And when do you plan on having those at the next meeting?
I can mock one up for you guys to look at.
And okay.
It's very, very close to like production, just without some customized features that would have to be agreed upon with the city.
So you tell us when you're meeting next. We're going to see if we can make that happen so we can hand you 20 tags that you can figure out how to run around and look at them, eyeball them, think them through.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank Holly, actually. She's the one with the fancy tags.
Are there any other follow-up updates from last week's, or not last week's, last meeting, before we get into a progress report? All right. Well, Jason, are you going to start?
I'll walk you through it.
Okay.
By the way, there was a minor one, but you already received it on the progress from last week. There was a question asked in follow-through, which you got via email and clarification of the 35-day quarantine, and if we would restart that. And so we did send that out to as many stakeholders as we had in our database, and to clarify that once a new program is implemented, we would have to go through a decontamination and a quarantine process of 35 days, and that allows some people certainly the opportunity to review all options of boating while we figure this out. So just want to make sure you knew that was asked of staff at the last meeting, and that did happen. So
thank you. That was very helpful for a lot of people. So thanks for doing that.
Sure,
and I think it was the right call.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. Series of recommendations. You know, I want to come back to that, and I have them listed here, and it should match to your notes from the last meeting. Hopefully, I'll get that right. Great recommendations. Really appreciate your time and effort. A lot of the time has focused, not solely, but quite a bit on the Tagging 2.0. Mm-hmm. And again, I want to recognize the folks that are in the audience, the subcommittee working on that, Friends of Stanley Lake, and looking at ways we could, come up with a tagging process that was certainly better than we had before, and hopefully and ultimately one that we could utilize. Other than the on-site tagging, staff did follow through last week, Thursday, with another tour. That was a demonstration hosted again by the Friends in the boating industry. That happened. We brought in all sorts of staff. Staff ranging from types of work.
Parks, open space.
Mechanics, open space, parks. We also visited with the police department on the crime lab and the tape opportunities that we visited last week. And you're putting the water. And we talked about the field as far as ordering tape and these sort of things. So I just want to be clear. We've been very active in trying to explore any solution presented to us. We want to take the full gamut with the ultimate outcome of restoring voting to Stanley Lake. So a couple of key things that we've learned, and you already heard some of them tonight, so I don't want to repeat already what was said by the group as far as where they're at right now and coming up with the operational or what have you that was just mentioned. But some things like the option of the through-hole option and the placement specifically the cabling is something that absolutely is a step in the right direction, very positive. And a way to do that in a way that can be done consistently, I think, is definitely headed in the right direction. I also think the idea of layering, whether it be multiple components, multiple pieces, different styles, I think that's also a step in the right direction. I think, frankly, the challenge that stands right now with Tagging 2.0 is that all parties agree that it's not that it can be circumvented. And I understand there's a percentage of that, but you know what stands in my mind is you go back to the charter of the task force and says, without you know restoring trailer boating to Standing Lake, without impact of water quality, and if I'm telling you know the other water quality interests, meaning the three cities, that we have a system that's somewhat effective, where am I negligent as an organization? So we really need to consider that. And so I think I would, by the way, I'm not saying that's the wrong direction at all. I want to be clear about that too. I certainly trust and respect the efforts that are being done by the subcommittee. We heard some additional work that's being done. What I can tell you is all the folks that have looked at that so far, all parties, the boating industry, unless I'm misspeaking, the tagging group have said publicly and on record, including email, which of course is searchable by other entities, that we have a system we're considering that is not fully reliable. Now you could say, well, what percentage are you looking for? Something that doesn't say this can be circumvented easily, which is what I have in communication. So I think there's a lot of potential there, don't get me wrong, but as far as saying we're ready to endorse that today, we're not. We're not ready to endorse that today. Could be next week, could be the following week, depending on the progress of that work. And that's not just me saying that, just to be clear. We've had, I don't say dozens, I'll say 100, but lots of hours, in addition to volunteers that have been doing great work, working very hard. We want to get boating back on the lake. I don't know if the current program of Tagging 2.0 is where we're at just yet. Granted, I'm hopeful that'll happen. And I'm interested. You said you're going to have the Colorado folks, the state, look at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing is, every time someone looks at this says, you know what, you're onto something. How about this? Or how about that? Or have you thought of that? Candidly, some of the folks, even from the Friends, have mentioned, have you really thought about how this integrates with technology? And I know we kind of danced around that a little bit before, and you had some preliminary recommendations. I do really wonder about that. I'm not saying let's search technology today, but there's some folks that are also that are working hard to restore, you know, stay with the charter, that are very interested in and are already exploring technology opportunities, whether that be GPS, whether it be systems that are broken and tracked somehow, I don't know. But I want to let you know there's a lot of folks working on the technology side as well. So that's your Tagging 2.0. Optimistic, but just need more information, I guess, is kind of the summary on that. The next one was maintaining 35-day quarantine. Absolutely, we're fully on board, as you might imagine, with continuing to do that. Utilizing the state ANS database, absolutely. We were committed to doing that in 2019. And with the improved mobile application, with the updated version of that application, we found it to be a solid and reliable application. This application will be useful in tracking boats that have been on other inspected, monitored water bodies. Keep in mind that not every water body is monitored, and therefore not every possible launch will be included in the database. But, however, it's a great program. Now that it's been able to be utilized real time, we want to pursue that absolutely, fully endorsing that recommendation. Consider a ban for life if a person is found to be deliberately circumventing the tag or decontamination station. There would be, of course, a due process, as I clarified last time. Anytime we do that within the city, everyone's afforded a due process. We do fully support that recommendation, as well as a lifetime ban for anyone circumventing any future program that we design. Increasing fines, absolutely. We would work with our police department as well as city attorney's office, but something around of $10,000. As it relates to endangering the drinking water supply, we think would be potentially enough to, again, have yet another layer of we're very serious and we shouldn't be doing things otherwise. That doesn't mean we jump to an assumption. It doesn't mean we assume because there was an accident that we automatically assume someone was tampering. But we're going to treat that very seriously. And the more communication and effort there is about that, I think the better understanding about how important that issue is. Conduct more frequent or random audits. Absolutely. Their audits are a really acceptable way to measure how the program is working. We would like to do that. You know, it's proactive and reactive, both at the same time, but getting partners to help us with that, I think, would be awesome. And again, having, I don't want to say kind of the accountability of peers, but I know the Friends have offered to help, as an example, with auditing, and perhaps this task force of us doing it, I think that's a great idea. The increased signage at the lake and in brochures, the onboarding packet for permit holders, all those sort of things we want to do. We want to, as we talked about, have our peers hold our peers accountable. Annually permit holders are given packets of information. With that said, all of this communication has led us to better understand perhaps some areas we could be more focused on. Further threats of ANS, FAQ about ANS, ANS brochures awareness, where things are located now and where they can expand. I guess the bottom line is absolutely a robust promotional media information, more agreements, frankly, as far as the understanding of what are fines, how do they impact us, what is a lifetime ban, what is that, what is a patron code of conduct. Those are typical things we have in many, many other programs in the department. We'd want to endorse all of those things. Conduct an end-of-season review was another recommendation. Absolutely, we're all for that. Staff is constantly attending training and education opportunities to ensure that we have the latest ANS information possible. The issue we have found in this case were identified outside of those trainings. But ongoing evaluation at ANS, certainly this effort here has created even more awareness. We're going to get ongoing information on that. The issues that were identified in tagging system were not ANS industry known at the time were discussed. It was the ongoing review and the hard work of all of our stakeholders, including staff, that brought these issues ahead of, in some cases, of the industry at this time. For the last 5 years, Stanley has sent out end-of-year surveys to all permit holders, offered things like pre-season focus groups, communication with groups about the program. The survey did reveal frustration that permit holders felt 35-day quarantine and the strict protocols of the ANS program, but the majority of holders felt that we should operate like the state and the program was too stringent, that holders, we should honor state tags and allow boats the freedom to travel over bodies of water. So this is the type of information we've been getting through our outreach sessions and these types of things. I'm just giving you some examples. But bottom line, again, with your recommendation, not only do we want to take what we're doing today with the end-of-season audit, the preseason, the postseason, open houses, and surveys, we want to take it to the next level, I guess is what I'm trying to say. A couple other things that kind of came up. I know the group talked about one boat, one lake, but wasn't ready to recommend that, but wanted to not at the same time deny that, or kind of wanted to table it. Staff picked up on that from the last meeting, and I have some findings for you because, in my opinion, they're blended with some other things that I've heard along the way. I was concerned about, well, if I leave my boat at the lake, how can you guarantee my security? I have a very expensive boat, a lot of investment. You walked over the fence and were playing with things, and I thought that was very interesting. So if we were to do that, we'd look at 24-hour security. We already have overnight security, 10 p.m. to 6 a.m., 7 days a week, at a cost of $26,000 per season. By the way, that's required from the IGA of us having recreation on the lake. If we were to do that, we would look at 24-hour security for the entire season, to help reduce, to better support the boating community, to make sure if we were to mandate, I'm not saying we are, if we were to mandate one boat, one lake, folks, there's a lot of things we need to do. Things like gates need to be improved, right? Cameras are outdated, so I got some quotes on cameras. How we would do that, how would we maintain and do things like just standard maintenance on-site or off-site? And this is outside of potential GPS or electronic devices. Further than that, the space on the site, it is limiting. You have 250 spots. What are we going to do about that? And if we move them elsewhere, what are we going to do about that? So I do think there is potential merit. I'm not saying that's the only solution. You know, that may be a combined solution whereby if you're on the one boat, one lake opportunity, that affords you different privileges like expedited. I don't know. I'm making stuff up here. But the point is we do think there's merit on that and would encourage consider a continued exploration of the one boat, one lake until we find the solution that is one that we could live with. And one other thing, part of this idea, I said negligence a couple times on any chance of having a gap in what we're trying to do with the lake for protection. Yeah, I'm concerned about that, but I also don't want to get into the cycle where every single year, every 2 years, we're like, wait, hold on, we've done this. Now, not everything can be perfect. I get that, and we will agree and certainly conduct ongoing audits and opportunities. But, folks, I want to restore boating and standing like I do. I don't want to keep going down this path every year, and I don't want to sound negative, but I also want to be clear. We do have more work to do, and I know we want to try to get it done this summer and get boats out there this summer. We need a lot of help, and I'm looking to you, to the industry, to the friends to help us get there. So I'll pause there. Staff, did I miss anything from, and by the way, not all the staff at FEDDAS were here. You're talking about dozens and dozens of staff looking at all these different angles. Holly, I'll look to you though. Anything particular that I missed?
No, I mean, I think you pretty much shared everything. you know, and obviously we're continuing to look at new options. We're committed to finding a solution, but one that obviously protects water quality. And I think you mentioned it, if we're having to change technology constantly, different processes all the time, I don't think that puts staff in a very good position, kind of an arms race, if you will. So I'm hoping the solution that we can institute is something that will carry us into the future, obviously being audited and looked at, and modified when needed. But, you know, to be changing something up on a continual basis, I don't think is good policy for the public or staff, I think.
So I'll pause there. Folks, questions, concerns, input on that, on the initial feedback from the solutions, knowing that there's more steps underway, of course.
Well, I actually was going to have some questions about the tagging system already, but I don't know if I should go ahead and ask that question or wait, since we know that they're working on some other things. But you did answer a couple of the questions that I already had written down as far as the tagging and other entities looking at it, because what my question was going to be, okay, so we go with the swedging and the tape. Well, aren't we already creating one boat, one lake with that? Because obviously if they took it to another lake and cut it off, then they wouldn't be allowed on Stanley. Is that correct?
It'd be another 35-day
quarantine. It'd be another 35-day quarantine.
And yeah. if they're caught circumventing, they'd be a lifetime ban. You know, I think that, yes, you know, if we had the one boat, one lake, I wouldn't necessarily be as concerned of saying we need to have a, you know, 100% proof, if you will, tagging system. Granted, we would have a tagging system. But if we felt and we had ways to track that, cameras, gates, those sort of things like I described, there's less of a risk. And by the way, in addition to the one boat, one lake, that would have very strict time restrictions. And I think you even said at the last meeting, if I'm not mistaken, if someone leaves the lake, I mean, they're not going to go and jump into set their boat in another lake under X amount of hours.
Right.
Well, I believe there's local partners in the boating community. In fact, one has already said it, that they would work out an agreement, and probably others, that within a window of time, pre-scheduled maintenance can be done, and we'd be fine with that. So it's a little bit more than just that. So that's what I'm saying. And I know you requested the staffing survey, and I appreciate that. Thank you. And one of the requests that continued to be one that's like, you know, maybe we're onto something here until we found out the long-term solution, like a tagging 2.0 or something, is in fact one boat, one lake. And when I say one boat, I literally mean you leave, you have a window to maintain, otherwise you go 35 days.
Right.
And I don't know if that's fair. And further, we don't actually today, the second, have the systems in place to do that. But we're confident that that is at least an option to getting it done quicker until another solution comes online, which it's probably unfair for me to say that. I don't know if that's in next week or...
Well, those were questions that I had because I understand the whole, it's a way of life and everything, but I have been contacted, personal messages from people who are boaters from different cities and people who live in the city of Westminster and pay water bills. And the one thing that I keep hearing is, well, we don't want to deny boaters their right to boat, but please do not forget the side of keeping water safe and the possibility of me paying a water bill and a 14% increase. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to do the one boat, one lake until we had more information, because personally, we're talking about stacking everything. That's probably going to be one of my recommendations. But I wanted more information about
sure.
it. I mean, sure, 250 spaces. So that leaves a lot of people out. We're still considering ballast tanks. That's going to leave a lot of people out. Is it fair? To some, maybe not. But it does get some boaters back on the mm-hmm. lake. So those are all things that we need to very seriously look at. And so that's why I didn't want to pull those off the list.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the questions that I had about some of that have been answered, so I can check those off.
Is there the possibility of increased storage on site out there?
There is. There is, I believe. And I think that, bluntly, I cannot see that happening this calendar year. I mean, you're talking about infrastructure that's in fact right adjacent to open space that has a different designation. Stanley Lake, of course, and the surrounding is open space, and when you do capital projects like parking lots and storage and gates and security cameras, it's challenging. I do think long term there's a potential for that. Short term, I mean, there's quite a bit of capital process that needs to be done there, and also funding. And I know, and the voters have been great about that. Hey, tell us what that is. Granted, introducing that and then following through with that two different things, but we'd have to look at that. I can tell you today we have room for 250 spots. Granted, some are already taken, and we would the cameras and the gates and the other processes are not installed. We'd have to figure out what that is.
Okay.
So when you say 250 spots and some are already taken, so those people that still have their votes already sitting there would be grandfathered in?
I'm not saying that. And okay. That could be a recommendation from you. I mean, they can go many different directions. We've offered a program, what's called storage. And it's not coming this year with a promise of, it's not a combined permit, if you will. Holly stopped me if I'm off. Before you had the opportunity to have your storage with a trailer boat and then use the lake, and it'd be a combined opportunity. Since we're working through this process, it's strictly storage. So we would have to obviously look at that and determine how many people are there, you know, given that program for X amount of time, when does that expire? And then as far as integrating that opportunity to one boat, one lake, again, I would welcome suggestions. Do you do a lottery system? We typically do, especially when we're reducing something when we know there's more demand than we have opportunities. Is that lottery system start with those that are our rate payers for water? Could be. Then is it Jeffco residents? Then is it third tier? I don't know, but these are the types of things we look at as far as the buy-in and getting understanding on that. If we are passing on the fees, and I'm not suggesting, I'm not even saying we're doing that, but if we are, what is that new dollar amount? And what is the life cycle of those types of things? So, yeah. Did I get that right in the permits on the parking?
Yeah, we basically wanted people that typically were used to storing their boat on Stanley Lake the opportunity to continue to store their boat on Stanley Lake. So we've sold over 100 summer boating storage permits for this year, and that is good through September 30th.
I guess what I was going to ask is, what's the potential of opening up the additional space prior to next year's season? Is that still a short-term concern for you?
Additional to 250 designated? I'd say that's a long-term opportunity. And the reason I say that, there's a trade-off. You know, where would we find that space? Probably in the area closer to the launch, probably in the area closer to the parking lot. The parking lot has a ton of other uses. And if we're now installing the cameras and the security system to make sure that, you know, boats are maintained, again, I just want to make sure this is a long-term solution. I understand it's disappointing I'm not saying there's a decision yet, but if we were to expand, I can't imagine that plus 35-day quarantine and the security and cameras all set up in time before have a reasonable season for that expansion.
For 2020?
Safe to say 2020 would be the target. 2020 would be the target.
That's what I'm asking.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Reasonable for
yes.
The 2020 boating
yes.
Season. To
if we're going one boat, one lake, and or expanding the opportunity like we talked about, 2020 would be the target, not 2019. Sorry, I misunderstood.
No, that's okay. I just wanted to, like, how long-term is...
Could, from the public works perspective, the water perspective, can Sarah come add a couple of comments supporting what you said about one lake, one boat?
Right. So I think, and what I was just mentioning to Max, is the IGA between Thornton, North Glen, and Westminster may have some pretty clear guidance on whether we would be able to expand the boating area. There's specifically if it's any area that would flow into the lake, drain into the lake, that can cause some issues. So that would be something that would have to be considered through part of it. One of the things we were talking about as well is that this concept of one boat, one lake doesn't have to be a clear store on site. And so if there's another option that is sort of along that train of thought, that would certainly be something that we would be interested in.
That's a good point. And you're absolutely right. Thank you. Great job on that. So designating a storage location as an example, city system or not the city system, private or otherwise, and having an area where those boats are known just to go to Stanley Lake, I guess, would be the other option. So, and again, we're not saying the other organizations that were required to be with the IGA on, of course, would say no to that, but we would have to obviously look at that closely.
on the storage, does that include during the winter too? On the one boat, one lake?
I would think not. I mean, zebra okay. mussel belugers can't survive the freezing cold temperatures.
Or 35 days.
Yeah.
Once the season's over.
You know, okay. we've always had summer or winter storage as a separate
right.
program that you could purchase optionally, obviously. So, no, you could take your boat elsewhere during the winter months.
And I noticed there was also camping trailers that were in the storage.
Yeah, we because we don't fill up for winter storage,
right.
we've opened it up to RV trailers just for winter
just
storage,
for winter,
not
okay.
in summer.
Thank you.
Do you have any thoughts? I mean, you're a boater initially, or
yeah, I mean, I still have a hard time with the one boat, one lake, just the whole storage of a boat at the property. I think if tagged properly, the boat would be able to leave and go and sit in a garage, because I know, you know, if I have a $100,000 boat, I don't want it sitting outside.
Sure.
Thought you paid $600.
I no, I did, but I'm and mine is outside, so I don't care about my pontoon boat.
I'm talking about
you know, we're at Megan's shop, and there's some high dollar boats in there, and you know, I wouldn't want to leave mine outside. And I think that there are other boaters that feel the same way. If we could get the tagging system dialed 100% or close to, I think that is our viable solution. I would like to hear, you know, it was brought up, you know, okay, it may not work, it's not bulletproof. Okay, well, what are the items that need to be addressed that don't seem to be bulletproof?
Sure.
Are you talking about the tagging
system? The tagging
yeah.
system, yeah.
Well, that's my thing too, because you know, I mean, if we're going through, you know, two swedges and a ticket and tape, and it's like, that's a lot to go through. And I think most boaters wouldn't go to another lake if they knew that was going to make them go through another 35-day quarantine, or that was going to make them. So I almost feel like if we can get that tagging system to as close to perfect as possible, we've created a one boat, one lake.
Yeah.
But until we do, we have to keep all this other stuff as options. I do think it helps knowing that targeting a lot of this for 2020 is something that needed to be said, because that gives those people who do want to go boating an idea of, all right, well, you know, doesn't look like this could happen this year. Gives them more of an opportunity to, you know, say, all right, well, I'm going to take my boat somewhere else for this summer.
Was that what you said, though, Jason? Can you restate what you said?
What I said was that, yeah, as far as a option like a one boat, one lake, it's not that simple.
Right.
As far as an expansion was, you know, I think the question as well, I can't see an expansion. With the expectations we have in front of us as far as security, access, impact other areas, IGA, dialed up and done, funding in a month or so to allow a decent boating season. So I think that expansion for storage on site, one boat, one lake, is feasible for 2020. It's not to say there aren't other options for 2019, however. You know, we did say that there are other options for 2019. You know, but we have to get to a level of competence. And so going back to your question, Holly, if you don't mind joining me, you mentioned maybe even, you know, the tagging 2.0 subcommittee would be helpful too, and I could step away but start asking them about what are the current concerns. I can speak to the tape as one example. Your demonstration just kind of was an eye-opener for me. So I went to the chief. I went to our chief of police and had his work with his crime lab. And because here's the thing, I actually thought the tape was brilliant. I really did. I was like, yeah, here we go. So there are multiple sources that can create the tape. No one tape will deny another company from producing their tape. There can be replicas made. But further than that, our crime lab can't report any tape that can stand elements. They don't trust that for their crime investigations. Hollywood, feel free.
The senior criminologist said that is not what that application is built for. She didn't think it was suitable for what we were trying to do. I demonstrated what the use was. She said, there's no such thing as a tape, even if you have them serialize it or put a logo on it, that you can't get it from other places. And furthermore, like I said, it's not built for that application. So to be out in hail, wind, heat, it will last for a certain amount of time, but she couldn't say how long that will last, and did not feel that a piece of tape was a viable solution for protecting a water supply.
And again, going back, we're not suggesting that in itself means that someone's violating on purpose. We are suggesting if that triggers a 35-day quarantine, we're going to have a lot of angry people saying, you told me you were going to be using the system. And you could say, well, hold on, is someone going to really take the time and money to duplicate the tape? If there's enough of them, you never know. Bottom line is our criminal lab said, no, this isn't what this application is for. Granted, I love the concept. Potentially, is there something like that that's there? Perhaps there is. Now, the other issues on the tagging and the current system, that sort of thing, feedback from our teams and staff.
Yeah, I think just anything mechanical can be duplicated and at some point has a fail point. Basically, with the swages, I've been in contact with so many label companies. it's a little unreal, but for instance, the dyes, there is a suggestion to have one made that maybe is machine shop that could be more original, but anything you buy from anywhere, they can only either put three letters or three numbers or any combination thereof. Obviously, the swages, the wire, all of that can be purchased from multiple vendors. I'm not saying it wouldn't take a lot of work on someone's behalf. But anything that you could potentially duplicate or circumvent within a 35-day time period, you're better off than going through a quarantine, if you will. So this isn't obviously just my input. We're talking about a lot of different staff members have looked at this, including the PD and other members of the staff. So I'm just kind of conveying, and please correct me if I'm wrong, anyone, but of the kind of a culmination of the information that we're receiving back. So that's where we are with this right now. So I do think that there are some technologies out there that have some potential. Staff is continuing to look at options. I've been feeling very rushed about trying to get this done in 2019. I don't know if that's possible. But I'd rather have something in place that's solid moving forward that we could roll out, because we've talked about the fact that the boating program as we know it is done. So we're talking about creating not just a new tagging system, we're talking about creating a new boating program, and that's going to take some time. Mm-hmm. So I want to roll out something solid.
And to build on that, the new program, which I am fully optimistic will happen, understand something. When that gets developed, how many stakeholders need to know consistent and accurate information? 72,000 visits in one operating season for Stan Lake, people come into the gate. What do they expect from policies and protocols? What are people that are paddle boaters, more than the majority asking to make sure the refunds are available if the program should change? They need to know their decisions too for a summer. And I think what I'm trying to say is I'm not taking sides at all. What I am saying is we need to be consistent and with that information, so the boating community, paddle, fishing, you name it, trail users have a good understanding of what that is. And so the staff is working very hard coming up with solutions. And we're getting contacts from all over the United States with all viewpoints, And I really think we're on to something here. Perhaps this is a great community engagement process, and I think it is, to ultimately come to something that could be really a best practice in how to manage these issues. I just don't know when. I'm hopeful soon.
I totally agree, and I think it'd be nice to get the thought of a new tagging system out there nationwide and see what we can come up with within the ANS community and even beyond. Is there anything in your mind that you could see that we could actually get boats back out there this year and what's left of the boating season this year?
You know, I would say the closest it would probably be is whatever space is remaining on the one boat, one lake. That's and then how, what are we attaching to that? It would come with very specific expectations. Now, I'd have to defer back to Holly then, because if we're telling people expectations, then staff better live up to them. That's no, you know what I mean by that. I mean, if we're telling people they're secure and we're going to have security on it, can that actually happen? If we're telling people we're making commitment, the last thing I want to have happen is someone to leave their, you know, a boat or material on site and someone jumps over the fence and starts wiggling parts, right? And that sort of thing. So I want to make sure we can live up to what we say we're going to do to allow that. Yeah. But to me, the closest it feels like is that. Holly?
No, I agree. And operationally, I have some concerns in terms of, I've already said, we can physically only decontaminate, depending on weather, obviously, but 7 to 8 boats a day. So we're looking at an entire month just to get to decontamination of all boats. Then you've got a 35-day quarantine on top of that. So any operational changes, it's hard for me to fathom that, you know, we can do that within 2019. Certainly we don't want to rush a new program without thoroughly vetting so that we don't end up in this situation again.
And or the other one, and you know, it's always that balance, is to say, if we do something that's seen as negligent, and God forbid something were to happen, and I'm not trying to say it's going to, but if it did, how easy would it be to say, through our insurance company, through our legal and whatnot, we have to bill now for 300,000 people, including the water systems of North Gordon. And that could happen, which is why we took this so seriously, to say, well, hold on, we need to rethink this. So, you know, it's a constant balance. You know, I want to, like I said, I keep saying, get boating back out there ASAP. At the same time, I don't want to do it where it leaves a risk for our boating community, for our water quality, for staff not knowing where eventually this is going. We just need to be really strategic about this.
Would the city be willing to extend the boating season?
We'd love to. We can't. There again, the constraints of the IGA is that we're allowed only a certain period of time to have recreation at all in the lake. Because I thought about that too. I was like, could we do something to give back, if you want to look at it that way, to extend, hoping for a wonderful hot, you know, fall season. I believe it's October 1st, right?
September 30th.
September 30th, and there's nothing we can do about that. And by the way, that's any craft touching the water. I'd love to be able to do that, you know, but I don't think we can.
It's always been something that people would like, because obviously the weather is nice in October. But
I know I asked about it last year and was told, nope, sorry. IGA says we can't do that.
It's a grumpy Rangers thing.
No, they weren't. Now it wasn't grumpy. That was just me. Nope, can't happen. It was explained to me very clearly as to why it couldn't happen. And it made sense to me after that, because I'm like, it doesn't make sense. Look at this. It's 80 degrees, and we can't. IGA.
Yeah, I think from a water quality perspective, it literally gives the lake a rest, if you will. But water quality can probably speak more to what the purpose of that is.
I think it's fair to say that, you know, the continuation of boating, even back when the IGA was created, that in itself allowed for boating. I'll just tell you that. So it kind of it makes it happen. And so mm-hmm. It's kind of the terms of the ability for the city to run recreation on the lake.
When you spoke with the the head of the crime lab, did she offer any solutions as far as the tape goes?
That's what I was going to ask. Like, what do they use?
She said we should use, she wanted to know if there was some type of tag out there different than what we were using. I mean, she didn't have a solution. I basically was asking her if this solution worked. But she's not an expert on boat tagging and doesn't know what's out there. She said something that's not mechanical would be helpful, but I don't know what that would be. So, but I didn't ask her to seek out a tagging solution specifically.
You know, we've been contacted by a person, and that's a boater in the area, and talked about they're working on a prototype that they want to eventually bring, but they're not ready. They won't be ready for 2020. I don't know where this is going, but they talked about infusing technology with the tag to create some sort of a system that would have an alert or whatnot from that. So I don't want to put all my chips on that. All I'm saying is that there are people looking at this in those ways too. I come back to the GPS thing, and I'm not even sure if I'm comfortable with that, but that would be a really good thing for maybe this committee to think about. Is it Big Brother for government to GPS people's, you know, things, and then how is staff going to be tracking that with our policies on technology? I don't know. What would that do? That would allow you to keep your boat in the garage and have the opportunity to be tagged solely for Stanley, and have the opportunity to be monitored and that sort of thing. It sounds a little weird, frankly. Yet, absent other options, maybe it's something that we can look at. Again, and that being said, I have no idea what the cost of technology, what that would be passed on cost to voters, or the policies and procedures of the city attorney's office and the IT department to figure out.
Even with GPS, we're in the same boat, though, bad pun, of having it be tamper-proof, because what's to say you don't take that transponder off your boat and leave it in your garage, and then you take your boat to Moab, or not Moab, to Powell.
Well, I think, you know, yes, and yeah, that's really flexible in your audits. And this sounds super Big Brother-ish, but what's to stop inspection?
Yeah.
You know? And we wouldn't do that maliciously. Believe me, we would have, and that's the thing, our legal would have to weigh in on that. That's awful. But I don't, folks, hopefully what you're trying to hear is we are really trying. And by the way, I don't want to sound like we're, you know, done tonight. I mean, geez, we just heard that there's an evolution of tagging 2.0 and more work being done at the state level, a prototype being put into place, and we'd love to consider to see that evolution in addition.
I totally understand the city's perspective on having a solution to carry you into the future. I totally get the reasoning behind it. I get the staff perspective of it. I get that you have to bring this to the public, and it's something that you guys have to be the face that you stand behind. I would just encourage with this issue for you guys to keep a little bit of an open mind on that, because as these things come out in technology, as boat manufacturing will change for this issue in the years to come, like, the solution to this could be evolving, and I hope that the city is open to that. And sure, that's part of, like, the conduct for the end of the season review, to kind of see, like, what options are available. Is this the best thing that we should be using? You know, we would all like a solution that carries us 2 to 3 seasons into the future at the bare minimum. Like, I fully understand that. I would just hope that the city is vested in, like, hey, this might work for now. Let's get boats back on the water if we feel comfortable with it. And then, like, let's look at what the perspective is and keep moving forward with the solution.
Yeah, I would just tell you, absolutely. We are completely committed to ongoing review. Anytime there's improvements of opportunities, we want to seek them, just as well as we're committed to restoring trailer boating to stay in the lake without compromising water. I'm probably sick of me saying that, but we're there. We want a solution. We want to get this done. I think that the challenge of open mind, absolutely, to continue the evolution, but the flexibility versus negligence, I think, is the kind of where we're at, and the concern of that window of what that is. We're getting close. We're just not quite maybe there tonight.
And I guess as far as, like, I don't know, it's continually mentioned that the city's doing, like, way more research than we might see or feel in this room, or hearing things from different perspectives or that kind of thing. And it seems like you're coming back to the table more on the same page of one boat, one lake, which is fine if that's what it is. But I guess beyond sure that, in the research that you're doing, are there any other options that you're more heavily leaning on as far as, like, bringing solutions to the table?
Yes. The reason we pursued a little bit one boat, one lake is because it was mentioned at the last meeting to not move it up. It was a little unclear, but we knew enough to say at least it's a conversation still. So let's throw some things at it to decide how far that would go. But beyond that, yeah, every call that comes in where someone says they're working on a prototype, we're calling them back. You had a new one, actually, this week, of a new individual that came from a group that said, I think I'm on to something. Can we talk? And that was contacted through, I think, our city manager and myself, and that immediately went to Holly. Holly's work. So every time the phone rings and someone says, I have an idea, we're responding and learning. And as soon as we have enough information as to what that is, some of it is, frankly, kind of vague. I'm working on something, and it'll come back to you in 2020. Well, great. What is it? Well, it's basically this. But as soon as we have enough information, we certainly want to bring it. And vice versa, by the way. As you're talking, you know, if it's a state or other areas, and you're hearing of things, please, you know, I think we're all in this together from the thinking and bringing strategies forward.
Well, it is industry. So I think there are potential solutions that can be industry-driven, and I think industry can play a big role moving forward. You know, it's kind of surprising other things haven't been already implemented, because zebra mussels have been around for quite some time. But we are getting contacted by industry that I feel like is taking a more serious look at how they're constructing and designing boats moving into the future.
They definitely are. So yeah. I see the future. It's just not where you guys need it to be right this second, unfortunately. Yeah.
I'm kind of conflicted a little bit about the tape, because we had the Ben Martinez from the ATF in here, and he stated this is rock solid. I think this is great. And then we've got the person from the crime lab saying no, she doesn't think that it's viable. But then, you know, when I went to the gas station today, I'm looking at the gas pump, and there's that tamper-proof tape on there. So nobody can get that little skimmer in there to scan your ID or your credit card. That's outside. That's in the elements, in the sun, in the rain, in the hail. So I'm kind of conflicted about the tape comments.
Yeah, I think, as I said before, I thought it was brilliant. I thought the idea of having that and you know, the layering was really outstanding. I'm not an expert in that regard. I can't tell you. All I can tell you is I went to the chief. He assigned it to the criminologist, the lab, rather. They looked at it. They met personally with Holly, reviewed the application, and said, this is not what this tape is designed for. The question was, is there tape like this designed for this application? No, there's not. We would suggest you pursue a different option. I'm not saying we have so many different viewpoints on solutions, viewpoints of never having solutions, viewpoints and all these things coming in all over the community. I'm not an expert on the tape. I was disappointed, I will tell you. I was disappointed to say, geez, I thought that was awful close. Disappointed to find that, in fact, no, that's probably not a viable option. And at the end of the day, for us, you know, our city police is certainly folks we need to continue to involve in these types of issues, particularly if we're looking at lifetime bans and fines of 10 grand. And if they're saying, you know, nice layering, but this really isn't going to do it, that's what we learned. And, you know, the other thing we could do is a future action, and I'd have to ask the chief, but he can come in, talk to you about it. He probably signed his staff to come in, frankly. We can do that as a follow-up. By the way, from the last meeting, I think we had, Angie, if you can help remind me, a couple of folks who we did want to come back in and visit with this team. One of them was the state, and a couple of folks, so we can continue to do that, yeah.
Did anyone from the state, like, have samples, like, or did anyone from the crime lab get to try to circumvent it? Like, was it all three layers successfully circumvented and put back together?
No, I've been asking, and I've talked with Kevin about it. We have not received an actual sample that we could mess with, quite frankly. Okay. We've seen the demos, we've seen it in action, but nothing's been physically given to us, and so I'm working with Kevin to get multiple samples that we can then basically vet. But, I mean, okay, we haven't had it to play with. So
yeah. Brett said that at the beginning they weren't in here yet. Brett had said that they were. We just needed to tell them when the next meeting was, and they would bring some of those in for us to play with. So to actually try to tear apart, to take with us to people we may know. And so I will look forward to that.
We gave Holly a sample of, like, tagging 1.9. So we're not quite fully shoebox. But it's pretty good. And we put tape on that. We have tape outside currently trying to do the elements. And so far it's holding up great. And when you try to take it off, the tag I gave you has that tamper resistant stuff on it. So what we're finding is the tape does fine. Again, this is a multi-layered system that shows signs of tampering. And if your tape is tampered with, that's just where that flow chart comes in, where that tag gets cracked in half to see if you tried to drill the tag. Every tag can be cracked in half, and you cannot hide the inside chamber that people try. You can't get to that inside chamber to fill. They're filling the outside chamber. So every tag, if cracked in half, will 100% tell you if that tag was drilled or not. Because ultimately, that's what we're doing here is making sure that that tag doesn't get drilled. And again, that's where the two swages come in, and that's where we really want people to look at all layers combined versus each individual layer on its
own.
Absolutely. Because that's not what we're designing. We're designing a full circle system here.
And he is talking about the audit. We can't be at the tag station cracking these tags open. It's not like...
We're also currently making a prototype to where we'll crack tags for you, like, instantly.
But if the tag looks circumvented, you need to use a different process before you let the guy in the lane.
That's where the flow chart comes in. You just do a more... It just takes you a few more steps to make sure they didn't cheat. If the tag tape looks great, they pass the easiest test. You do the pull test, tape looks great, you're out on the lake. Then at the tables, then it's where you look, do a little more investigation.
I think these people are all thinking about the system as one or zero, and it's not. It's like you got to have seven things perfect to not be able to visually see them. And I'll tell you what, we're going to bring you examples, and we'll let anybody in this room and anybody you want to go and have do it. Crack it. Fine. Show us that you can do it. What's a reasonable period of time? And you know, if they can show you easy ways around it, we should try to fix that.
Right. And we can show you how they tampered with it, which is easy training.
If the tape is messed up, you go on a different line that needs some serious looking, cracked it, not open. And look in there. Holly can see them. I mean, you've taken them apart. You can see when they've been drilled. So...
Like I said, I really appreciate that. I do. I mean, the opportunity to test it and see how it can be broken and then examine it, I think, is helpful. And getting closer to that, I think, is good. Two points of clarification I would offer is that any scenario moving forward that would show evidence of tampering, just to be clear, would be a 35-day quarantine.
Right.
We wouldn't say, and by the way, that would be an assigned permit agreement. We would not be saying, well, maybe you bumped into a garage or, I don't know, your kid was playing. I can't fathom, but I can't have our team, you know, going through a process whereby we believe, again, it's ironclad, they see a flaw, and they're in question to say, oh, no, Holly, your team, you got that wrong. No. Sign an agreement, 35-day, sorry. And then if we learn that it's a flaw in the process at that point because it's been field tested and all that, then we just go back and say, okay, how, as you described, how can we improve that? The other thing, there is no scenario where I put our police department judgment against anyone else. There is zero scenario. Again, I'm not picking sides, but you talk about negligence. The city had their staff responsible for crime lab look at tape, which I, by the way, thought was a great idea. Say that, in fact, it's not viable for the solution. Can't do that. I still think tape potentially has a role, but not to say that it's one that we believe is going to be one that's securing the water quality of the lake.
Well, what I've kind of heard on this, and I thought the tape was excellent,
yeah, me too,
is the fact that they could duplicate it.
Right.
So if it was broken and they were able to duplicate it, it would not show up. But I'd also be concerned at the gas pump now.
Yeah, so our officer said that, gave us a number of companies that would produce this for us. And, of course, you could get one that says City of Westminster,
right.
Stanley, but what's the stop, a quick fabrication?
But I still think it's part of a solution.
I think so, too. I think, you know, that could be an alert. Wait, hold on. Now I need to take an additional dive in these processes. You talk about the flow chart process, yeah.
And moving the mounting of the leash itself is going to eliminate 99.9% of anybody that wants to circumvent the system.
You mean moving where we wire it through?
Mm-hmm.
Well, any system, I mean, all you got to do is break the weakest point. Going through the hull is perfect. I mean, but we've got to get the tagging down or it's not a viable. But absolutely, I think moving forward, that goes without question. Is it should be through the hall.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're not supposed to speak, but would you permit me to toss a question into the task force?
Because I've been negligent in having you guys come up. Each time you talk, can you please come up to the table? And
I could
state your name and then speak into the microphone, please.
Yes, I need to put my name on the record.
You get my stuff out of here, but feel free to. Oh, I should have moved my
I'm not going
to
be long. I just want to toss a question. So, for the record, my name's Roland Rick, and I'm a boater. I guess I'm sort of getting a distinct impression the tags are going to take a little bit of time, and so the only option that really seems viable for this summer is the One Boat, One Lake. So I wanted to just make sure the task force explored that a little more, in the sense that I think I would ask the city if they would permit the improvements to cameras, gates, security to run in parallel to the 35-day quarantine, and whether the city would allow people to go get their boats deconned at, you know, one of the parks offices, as long as they show up within like 4 hours of the receipt, to try to get past the fact that it's going to take you 30 days to decon, you know, I don't know, a couple hundred boats. So those are just a couple questions I wanted to toss out there for you guys to chew on. Just how quickly can we get that system in place? Is it actually viable for this summer?
That'd have to be a question for staff. I mean, with everything I was hearing earlier, the absolute earliest I would think you could even look at would maybe be Labor Day weekend. I do know they do decons down at 6060, which is one of Parks and Wildlife's headquarters. But that's going to be with the current tagging seal system.
Yeah, I would say a couple of things. One is that if there's a way to expand services to provide a quicker turnaround and decon, we want to do it. In support of voting, we do want to do that. I don't know exactly what that means right this second, but something like that would be helpful. The other part, frankly, at the last meeting, I was unclear. I'll just tell you, and it's okay. So we did take a few steps, but the committee did not recommend a one vote, one lake. At that
correct.
Time. They did not.
Correct.
So that, to me, if that's to be recommended, it'd be great to have discussion about that. And if that's an action item, great, we'll run with it. And or if not, we'd like to hear the concerns of why we wouldn't be running with it. So. There, I guess I'm hoping that tonight we do commit to additional follow-ups, including meeting, as well as very specific tasks that you would recommend as viable, both for this year as well as next year and ongoing.
Well, I heard, whatever we recommend be something that sticks for a few years. So I don't want to come right out and say, all right, let's go with the one boat run lake so we can get 250 boats on there and then that be something that sticks. If our subcommittees can come up with tagging systems that'll help them do it and have more boats out there. So at the same time, I'm hearing things that I don't know how to go forward with. I mean, we've already heard that you're going to need more security, so you guys need more time with that. We've already heard, the cost on some of that. We've already heard that it's not as simple as one boat, one lake. All right, boom, you can go through 35 days decontamination, and you can store your boat at Stanley. It that sounds real simple, but is it that simple?
Yeah, I think that perhaps to break it down a little bit, if that's something that the task force wants to pursue, maybe to break it down into some simpler areas, that if it was pursued, then what? If it was pursued, what about the lottery system? What about the time frame for reintegration? What about the time frame? We have an idea of what security would cost. I mean, almost double it. I mean, you're going half the day to the full day. Mm-hmm. 24? Right now, 1,000?
26
times 2. So we're already paying the 26. 26 would be the direct cost for making sure we feel confident about delivering it. It's those sort of things, you know? So, yeah, I mean, potentially we could get there, I can tell you that. It's just a matter of does the task force want to endorse that as one of their recommendations or not? And if yes, great. Any guidance you can provide, like lottery, like process, like security, like these things. If not, or if concerns, okay, great, that's fine. What other concerns of staff can consider? And further, I would apply that same methodology to any other future recommendation. GPS, you name offsite storage.
So you said you have 100 boats out there being stored at the lake. Are those that would, if we went with the 250, you guys went with the 250 this year, what would happen to those? I mean, are they going to be told that they're no longer there unless they get chosen by whatever lottery system we have?
We haven't decided how to go about that. I mean,
that is an option, though. Let's say if that was something that the city wanted to look at was 250 just this year, so that while we're looking at whatever, the better tagging or whatever, we're looking down the road just to try to get salvage some of 2019, what would happen with those other 100 boats?
Here's a question. What are those people bought into the program? The programs, that program still exists. The summer boat program still exists.
Yeah,
those people paid a fee and had a registration for a program that we did not end. That's what I'm trying to say. What are those folks believing? Do they think they have storage for the summer?
Yeah.
Then you have 100 boats that are spaces that are taken. Some that may or may not be boaters. Some could be campers. Some could be paddle boats. Some can be whatever. So whatever, I don't know, tomorrow or next week that could change. It could go down, could be more, but that would be a factor. So whatever that number is, we can fit. And maybe it's this simple. Whatever number we can fit into on-site storage might be a recommendation, followed up by, is there off-site storage? Can we get a storage company or a city facility to agree in that regard too? Then layered with cameras and security.
Wayne, can I offer a comment about one boat, one lake?
Sir.
The reason you hear us coming back to the question or the proposition for you is one boat, one lake. I'll put it maybe in question form for you. A better tagging and attachment system is necessary. We've all agreed on that. But is it for you as task force members, is it sufficient? Because going back to the mission of this task force, the risk that you are addressing is 32,000 water customer account holders, as well as the liability, whatever it ends up being, that we have for North Glen and Thorn because of recreation. So what I'm asking you is it good enough for you? If you bring a better tag in here and I can't crack it, is that good enough? It wouldn't be for me, because I'm pretty sure I can't crack it. But that's what you have to answer for yourself. Is that good enough for you? I'll tell you from a water quality perspective, it isn't good enough for me. And that's why I would ask you to keep thinking about a variety of possible one lake, one boat ideas. Maybe there is an idea that's beyond or that's different from we can fit 250 inside that fence and that's it. You know, there might be a creative solution to one lake, one boat, but I just think it's more than a better tag and attachment system. That's what if it was just that, we could have already been over, we could be past that and we could be on with something. I think it's more than that. And that's, so I'm asking you, you know, what do you, for you guys to discuss among yourself, do you think it's good enough? I've said I don't. For me, it's not good enough.
Well, I think Max brings up a great point, and even I was thinking about the fact that the subcommittee's meeting, you can bring me 20 tags, but I'm not a hacker. And I can give it to my staff, but none of us knew this was going on before. It actually took a boat dealer to show us that it was happening. So, I mean, we're talking about making sure we get that tag in the right person's hand. The person that already thought of how to drill out a tag, we never thought of that. I mean, that wasn't even on our radar. So, I mean, that is something to take into consideration is, you know, I'm not saying you shouldn't and we won't try, but I don't know if we're the right group that should be trying. I don't know that we're qualified to look at it from every angle. But I don't know.
Well, that's where I like the idea of sharing with the state, sharing with their fire department, sharing with their police department, and those sort of things. And then it's not about proving if it's wrong or right, but it's to say, here's how it can be manipulated. Here's additional signs of distress you need to look for.
So I guess from a Friends of Stanley Lake perspective, we need clear guidance from the city. If Max is just going to shoot down any solution that's put up, and he's already dug his heels in, we just need to know that. We'll stop wasting our time. Okay.
Well, first, you're mischaracterizing what I said.
No, I wasn't. I heard you very clearly.
Well, I'm absolutely mischaracterizing it, because what I said is what you propose is better.
But not good enough for you.
I'm not a task force member. I'm telling you my opinion is not, it's not good enough.
Well, doesn't the system have to go through you, like your opinion helps, Jason's opinion helps the city attorney and all that?
I would say it's a factor.
So
just like the police, what I always ask, if you don't want samples, we won't waste our time. If that's a moot point, all we need is Jason to say, my staff has said that's not good enough. Physical barriers are not good enough. We need force fields or something. And we'll start thinking about force fields. We can't do that until you give us a little bit of guidance. And a lot of us are wasting a ton of time to something that we don't even see the negative side of. We just get, nope, not good enough. Physical, can be broken. No one stepped up and broke anything. No one's even seen a physical tab. So we just need to know what to do and how to act appropriately so we can help. That's all we're asking.
Well, I didn't know when to bring this up. So since it's been brought up, I'm going to bring it up. I read this book. And after many, many meetings and hearing from all the different people, I went back and I read it again. And I am not, one of the reasons why I said I'm not putting, I want to table the one boat one, because I'm not convinced that something could happen. And, you know, I don't want to be the bad guy. I don't want to be the person that they say, well, you're not a boater, you don't understand. But when I go by and I see 90 to 90% per chance can survive this in a ballast tank. Well, then, so now do I recommend that no ballast tanks be allowed on the boat? You know? And then you hear the other side where they say, well, but 35 days. So we've got one step there. I am not ready to say that we have come up with a solution. I am not ready to say that the tagging is a solution. I can tell you honestly that I stand with Max. The thought of something happening after we go through all of this work to just have something bad happen, as a person who pays a fee, who pays my water bill, the thought of even 250 boats on the lake possibly making my water go up 14% concerns me. It concerns me a lot. So I'm going to tell you, none of this has truly been good enough for me.
Even the one boat, one lake?
Not until we know for sure if the one boat, one lake with the security is going to keep something from happening and the city happen to come back and say, oh, well, sorry, we got to start this process all over again.
Well, I've got a recommendation on that proposal too, but for me, I like seeing what you guys have put together because it's already moved the bar, and right. It may lead to something. Like I said, if we could get this in the hands of some of these national groups, perhaps we could come out with something else. Maybe we won't. I don't know. Maybe there's going to be some technology that is going to be more foolproof. I don't know. But I appreciate what you guys have done, and I appreciate that it has already moved the bar up, and maybe it's not the answer right now, but maybe it will lead to something.
Well, and I'm not saying I want to see their stuff. They know I'm going to tear it apart. I did that day they brought the boats to us. But I'm saying that it'd probably be part of the solution for me, but I don't think it's the only solution.
Yeah, no,
and I'm
I
not comfortable pushing forward and saying I don't want to be backed into a corner. I don't want to be stressed out with, well, all right, well, is there something we can do to get boats back on the water in 35 days? I don't want to be backed into the corner to make that decision or be forced to make that decision.
Well, it's not our decision, but at least making the recommendation. I understand what you're saying there. So for me, it's a task. To me, there's two different points here. One is the tag, which is what we were just talking about, and then the other one is the one boat, one lake. I would like to see what you guys have, personally. I think that Tammy does too. So I would like to see you guys move forward with that. And I don't know what's going to come out of this when our next meeting is. Let's say our next meeting is 2 or 3 weeks away. If you guys can get that, drop them off here within a week, I would be happy to come over and pick it up if it means getting it in my hands before the next meeting. As far as the one boat, one lake, I don't know that we're, you know, hearing what Tammy's saying, that we're, as a task force, ready to recommend that like we did last week. But I would like to propose that we pose that to you guys to get some feedback on that. And I've written down a bunch of questions that you guys would probably need to, just as a starting point, to look at for that. But just, I would just be curious as to what you guys would have to say on that.
Sure.
So I'm not proposing that that's a recommendation.
Right. No, I agree. I mean, I'm not ready to propose that that be a solution that they force within 35 days or even in the 2019 season.
But I would,
but
like,
I would
to, get
like
more
to know what they have to say. I guess that's my point. Is
what do you guys, any thoughts at all? Well, we're kind of moving on into the next steps here, but.
One thing I would like to see is that, you know, if Max says this isn't going to work, what will work? Is there a solution to, I mean, I don't like the answer of, nope, not going to work, and that's it. I have a hard time digesting that. So I would like to see a solution. If someone says this isn't going to work, okay, what is going to work? Because we get nowhere if someone just says, no, it's not going to work. We're just sitting here spinning our wheels,
or
which is,
I guess,
frustrating.
Too, like, more input from the city prior to just, like, full panel review. Like, I mean, this, the tagging 2.0 system was at the last three or four meetings from the, or since the very beginning of the task force, but this is the first time that we're hearing that the city doesn't feel comfortable with mechanically sound devices, which is surprising to me at the time that it's happening in the process. Like, I guess the feedback would just be better. Like, if we know that something's mechanically not going to work, if we know that some technology source can't be circumvented in some way, then let's not spend our time moving forward in a direction that we're not going to be able to pursue. So I would like to see the more proactive and productive, I think, approach too. I mean, this whole, I get the perspective of the city. Please know that I fully respect everything that you guys do and that you're vested in this every day, and it's part of what you do. I would just like, I mean, it's slightly disheartening. I guess we need to round the table and look at the options overall, and kind of come back to the table with things that will work. A lot.
Steve, you're wrong.
Well, I feel there's a win-win solution out there. Have we hit it yet? I don't know. And I know we need some more time. But I was even had another thought. I mean, they have like ankle bracelets for prisoners. I don't know if they can cut them off, but if they have some technology that could take that to the next level, and I'm only suggesting that if the boat leaves the lake.
Right.
Because I don't know if they have to be charged or whatever. And, but I think a lot of great solutions, possible solutions, have come forward. I'd like to hear more.
And maybe I misheard it, but I didn't hear anybody in the staff say that anything mechanical is off the table. It's just that the current one is not enough for
the tape.
Correct. Right. Nobody said that.
So, I mean, anything, even whether it's mechanical or whether
so
it's
electronic.
So you think,
Max, sorry if I can direct a question, but do you think at some point, if something mechanical was there that could protect the boat, do you think you could feel comfortable knowing that something mechanical could not be circumvented?
I think that it's possible. When I came to the table, what I asked you, each of you, is what has been proposed good enough for you? That's what I asked.
Yeah.
I said, for me, it isn't enough, but I think that's why this task force is assembled. I think, I wasn't trying to put you on the spot at the moment, but I think that's a question you should answer. Is it good enough for you?
And it's a valid question. I mean, our recommendation was not to take this system as the end all. Our recommendation was look into an improved tagging system with more secure cable tag that connects to a permanent position on the boat and can't be removed like at the bowline. Consider using the Friends of Stanley Lake system, but remain open to improvements or other ideas if they work better. So we've already passed that recommendation on at the last meeting. And I believe that it is a work in progress and that we've got a really good start. I mean, we're way ahead of where we were this last year. Well, I personally would like to do what I was saying earlier about the one boat, one lake. I'm not saying we recommend this as one of the options to consider. I just would like more information from the city. And I'm sure there's other things to add here, but I can get this to Angie for the minutes. I was just, and these are not in any order. If there is an increased cost, look into the possibility of passing that cost on to the boaters. Is there a technology like GPS or the ankle bracelet? My question on that is, would we only use that for when they leave for maintenance? Because I think having 250 of those and trying to track those, I think right. would be burdensome.
You know what's interesting about that is that how many golf carts do we have at Walnut Creek and Legacy? You know, so what are you talking about? We have technology on those golf carts. They send an alert and physically stop working when they go off the pass.
Yep.
Mm. So you do start wondering if that technology exists. Are you kidding me? Why couldn't, I don't know if it's an ankle bracelet, but something that once it's broke, cops know. I mean, right. they don't. Could that? I have no idea what the cost of that is. I have no idea, but I do know we're using golf cart technology that once it leaves a zone, so figure next closest lake, I'm kind of making that up, okay, to get maintenance or what have you, that some sort of alert happens. I'm not saying we would ever damage anyone's boat, just to be clear, shut their boat off. I'm not seriously saying
that. Saying an alert.
The golf cart actually does shut off, but I'm just trying to expand the idea of technology.
Yep.
And since I have one more comment, you know, folks, I know this isn't easy. You know, there are still questions, bottom line, about the current suggestion of tagging 2.0. Just want to reiterate what I said earlier. That doesn't mean there's not solutions with it. And I think it's really important, given how much exposure this issue has, both to the voting community, but for 300,000 people, that we need to stay together on this. And we're going to have bumps. And even our MOU we had talked about how we don't need consensus on some of these things. We list difference of opinion. So mm-hmm. I just want to keep, hopefully, keeping that momentum going. And
right.
I'm great with disagreement, don't get me wrong. I just don't want, you know, I want to keep the momentum going between all the stakeholders, if possible.
That's why I would like to keep what we had last week. And it was our very first recommendation. Let's keep looking at an improved tagging system. Some other things I had on the one boat, one lake. You already talked about the hiring 24-hour security. We're going to have to talk about the 100 that's already there versus adding another 150. Could we store more security or more securely off-site? Maybe it's a warehouse, I don't know, where they've also got 24-hour security. Improved fencing you talked about. I wrote down the concerns. Some of the concerns about the boaters include on-site storage with weather, vandalism, although if you have the 24-hour security and an increased and improved technology with video surveillance, that might help with that. But the weather could still be an issue. If we go down to 250, there's going to be some people that are going to be upset because they didn't get a pass. Could we take boats down to 6060 Broadway, which is one of the Parks and Wildlife offices where they do decons? Is that a possibility for you guys to look at? Again, we'd have to look at a tag because they're using the current tag. Even if all of this is doable, when could it be initiated? That's, I think, the big question. So those are all the thoughts I had that I wanted to mention on the one boat, one lake. Is there anything I missed?
I mean, you don't need to tag the boat if you get a decon to Parks and Wildlife. You just need to ask the city if they'll accept a receipt within a couple hours that you had a decon.
Some system that you guys would be okay with, yeah.
Sure.
As far as the passes go, we talk about doing a lottery. I personally do like weighing it to the people who are vested in the water. That's my personal opinion on that. Another way you could look at this, though, even if you were to initiate that, is do you want to do some kind of a priority number, like Broncos season ticket holders? Somebody who's had a pass at Stanley Lake for 20 years gets more priority over somebody who's been there 1 year. Just another thing for you to consider.
And on that if we, you know, I still have a bunch of different notes on the one boat, one lake, but the lottery was one of the ones that I was curious about, and the people who actually pay water bills. And I know you had, because I had asked the question the very first meeting about where I had read there had only been 118 permit holders who were citizens of Westminster, mm-hmm. but then you also mentioned because of Jeffco and the IGA that, you know, some of those people were considered. So.
Yeah, the IGA provides the opportunity. Well, that it's how the property was acquired for Jefferson County Open Space. So any recreation activity, entrance into the facility, classes, programs, boating, you name it, allows that opportunity for resident rates. That's different, of course, in this case, from our water users. That doesn't mean the water users, but yeah, the number was
183
people were definitely within that threshold. That doesn't mean we like them more than the others. It just means that that's just the number we're currently, you know, assessing. And I don't know how many people have abandoned us now, saying, you know what, you guys are going too slow, I'm out anyway. We have to assess all of that.
And I would like to ask a question of the subcommittee, and I don't know how much this really has to do. Actually, I think it does, because Brett mentioned it at the council meeting last night about how the boaters and their webpage had started raising funds. And I think, Brett, you had said it was like $10,000 already?
Probably over that, yeah.
So I guess my question, since you're part of the subcommittee and stuff, is what are your ideas as to how you guys would use that money?
If we were doing tagging 2.0, we'd buy tools, we'd buy consumables, and we'd buy anything necessary to smooth and streamline the process that, in coordination with what Holly would have to do to execute it. She was already down a lot of the execution paths that we had on list of paper. And when I say we collected money, all we did is collected interest. I would do a GoFundMe thing, but I would guarantee it'd be over $10,000 in one day. So what would we do? We don't need $10,000 worth of stuff.
Right.
The swage is we need $1,000 worth of stuff right now. We've spent way over $1,000 worth of stuff now. We haven't done anything. So, you know, I'm not that worried about it, but we will break down walls with that money if we can help speed this system forward in something that would take longer if done the city way. Right? We are all in for that and still remain to be. So right now we're gonna work on getting some samples that are production quality samples. I think the big thing is the swaging tool needs to be pneumatic, and it needs to have adjustment on how hard it squishes. That's a critical piece to the puzzle. You can't do it with the hand pliers consistently. We'll probably even still do that. But lots of things we could and should use that money for if we go to get it, but it is there. And it's not in the bank account at the moment. So.
I was just curious because when you mentioned that last night, I thought, ooh, cool.
Say the swaging tool is $1,000 to start at the lake. You can't have one because if it breaks or someone loses it or takes it home in their car, you got to still be able to do business, right? So there's some redundancy that would have to be built. We'd be happy to help with that. Those are the kind of things, you know, I think there are prototypes of certain things that would need to be bought. And if you bought them now and started like pronto tomorrow, in 3 weeks when they came back personalized, that 3 weeks would not have been a serial event, it had been a parallel event.
Because currently, no manufacturer makes a swage for this 4-gauge or 4-wire 30-gauge. So that's a custom made for somebody. So that's another reason why the system's even harder to circumvent. You have to now personally find a company that will make a swage exactly for this wire. So that's another thing. And then the other personalization systems, which take really long. And that's where the counterfeit thing that everyone's worried about comes in. By the time it would take you to kind of pre-guess what your number is going to be, you could have just for your decontamination tubes. So that's what's kind of our holdup, why we don't have the exact swages for you, because we're kind of waiting for some feedback to make sure we're even going in the right direction here.
Okay.
Well, Well, I think the real importance here is putting together a solid program. I kind of hear two goals going on. I feel like there's a real push for something to happen tomorrow, and I don't want that to be at the cost of making sure that the program is solid. I kind of wish everyone would just, I'd rather have something solid and consistent. The pressure of trying, and I keep hearing pronto, get it done, that is unrealistic for staff. It's unrealistic for building a new voting program. I think the voters want something solid so that we can move forward and know that we're protecting the water supply and offering a valuable recreational experience. And I think the pronto, you know, get it done is actually in conflict with making sure that we're doing a thorough process and doing it right. And that's my perspective on this.
And I wouldn't say don't do things right. That's not what we're suggesting. Do things in an expeditious fashion. That isn't the word. But do it in a quick fashion. And do as much stuff in parallel as humanly possible. Okay, that's all we're recommending. I don't think that's out of the ordinary, and it didn't say skip steps. Do it to the nth degree. Do it production. Do it right. And don't skip any steps. On the other hand, I wrote a long research paper when I was in eighth grade that said not to decide is to decide. Okay? So if we're going to not decide for this year, we should make a statement that says we're not going to decide this year. And a bunch of us will step back, stop saying pronto, but right now I do think there are opportunities to do things in parallel rather than wait to do everything in serial. Because if we wait to do them in serial, we're in October, we won't even open this year. It's not possible. You know, 8 votes a day. I mean, you can do the math on those. We're already midway through July. If you started tomorrow, it doesn't sound like we're starting tomorrow. So anything that can be parallel path with money, we should put money against, and I'm not asking the city to do that. So if a swage tool needs built so that we can practice swaging professionally, we should buy a swage tool, right? And I can do that tomorrow, right? It would be here on Friday. So that's all we're saying, that the money, I think, could be thrown at things, smartly, but the parallel path.
You can also pursue the one boat, one lake, and better tagging in parallel. You can still go after both of those. See, in one boat, one lake would only be a this year solution.
It'd be a good start and good faith for the city, showing they really do want voters back. And kind of keep the anger that will build up over time away. And then to ultimately get more boats out there, feel making the city feel comfortable that it's a safe system.
That was essentially where I was kind of leading to.
I think there's solutions with decontaminations too, if it did move in that direction. Not saying that it should, but if it does, I think there's like solutions outside of saying like maybe we could just do 8 decons a day. Well, what if you have 3 dealers that are willing to give you their hotsy for a week? And willing to give you 2 people that are trained for 2 days, or, you know, the state's willing to come in and have people do it on site. I mean, there's just a lot of possibilities of other support systems that we could look at.
Yeah, I think that's brilliant. You know, staff's assessment is based on the program that no longer exists. The program that existed previously estimated that amount of decon. Surely, if we were to look at once finding the solution moving forward, all options would be on the table. Do we bid that out? Do we look at vendors? Do we look at those sort of things to make sure they hit the standards of our team, of course? But yeah, I mean, that was based on the, the outdated practices. So what would that be new bringing to the table? And I agree, you know, we would want to show support at a higher level once that solution is found.
Or even so, cost of equipment that could be passed on, so
yep.
that you
yep.
guys could increase efficiency.
And that's, you know,
in
the $10,000 that's been raised and pledged, I mean, that's yet another sign of promise of, well, wow, that is an issue, so what are we going to do about it? By the way, the other thing I will say is that, you know, as it was just described, the customized and the pressure set and all that, it gets me, you know, I still think that system has merit. I want to be clear. I just think we need to see the full system and allow teams, people, you, state, the groups to play with it and to say, here's the flaws you should be looking for, or not. You know, I also start thinking, you know, I'm getting into it probably maybe more than I should, maybe I'm unqualified, but does staff automatically order a custom trademark every 30 days through the boating system season, and no one else is aware of that? Meaning you show up, boom, there's your new tag. So, because you talked about how long it actually takes to create one of these custom systems, you take that potentially out of the issue if every 30 days we're getting a brand new emblem, whatever you want to call it, on there. So I'm kind of going yes and right now to try to keep the ideas alive and afloat.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, especially on this one boat, one lake, if there's anything in here that is a sticking point, please bring that back to us, because maybe there are creative solutions we can think of, like even beyond decon at 60-60, maybe dealers could do that. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's storage. Then maybe we could look at that. I think that this is the, if there is, time is of the essence, I think this is really the option that we've got, in my opinion. Right now, we can continue to look. I do, must be an electrician over here with the parallel and serial comments going on, but or IT. Obviously, we can look at the tagging as well. We're looking at the one boat, one lake too. Are there any other next steps you guys wanted to talk about?
One thing I'm not familiar on is the science behind the 35-day quarantine. Would the city be able to provide us with the reasoning behind the 35-day quarantine? I know we've talked about it, and I just want to have my head wrapped around it because the state doesn't call for it. So.
Sure, we could. Our expert from ANS, gentleman, is back when? We talked about him coming back to the table.
It's actually a state study.
I think it said 30 days and the city went five days
more. Yeah, because when I reread the book, I found that and it was like, okay. Because one of the mechanics had said that there's scientific proof to that. So I went searching for it and it does say 30 days.
I think I'm okay. I would like to know what the city does upstream of Stanley Lake to prevent any zebra mussels from entering the lake besides the trailered boats.
Yeah, we had what we did initially is we did a risk assessment on the upstream water supplies and the connectivity to Stanley Lake. And the only lake that was found to be a risk from a contamination point of view was Gross Reservoir, which doesn't allow motorboats. So that made us feel better about that connectivity. But all the rest, the streams and things like that, there was a study done by Denver Water that looked at velocity and habitat, and they determined that in the stream environments, that especially in the mountain stream environments, that the viability of a zebra or quagga mussel is not very long at all. So we have looked at that and we have studied it.
Okay.
The nice thing is we're a headwater state, so the only way to get zebra and or quagga mussels would be, you know, potentially on recreational craft. And like you said, all we have above us is paddle craft, no motorboats.
Is there anything else you guys wanted to talk about under anything, next steps, anything we've talked about tonight? In the meantime, I'm going to try to contact Parks and Wildlife, set up a time that they can have a demo. Got to figure out the location, whether it's going to be at 6060 or at one of the dealers. So I got to do that as well. And I'll just continue the dialogue with their staff, see if they have any other ideas. I did ask for a report from their nationwide meeting that they went to last week, but again, she's out of contact right now. So if I hear anything back on that, I'll let everybody know. What about a next meeting? Should we do 2 weeks again to look at all this? The one boat, one lake?
Similar to what I said, you know, maybe the last meeting was definitely set a meeting, and if there's an opportunity to get this information faster, perhaps leave it, and Angie would be magical on that, to perhaps keep an opening there to meet sooner if we have quicker results. At the same time, that doesn't eliminate us from communicating via email as we get updates, as we've been doing, you know, with that information. So I would ask, at the very least, to set a meeting date for the next meeting, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Well, so we know that we want to see the demos from the subcommittee. And so do we want to actually set a meeting to get those demos, or do we want to just, when they have them ready, let us know and go pick them up? So do we do a meeting for that, or do we just do 2 weeks to give them time to look at?
You guys did support having a subcommittee called mm-hmm. Tagging 2.0 or Tagging.
Mm-hmm.
They've been working very hard,
mm-hmm.
and to the extent they're available and able to do that, subcommittees are fantastic. They mm-hmm. really are, because they can drill right in and bring the material at the timing that's available and move forward. So I would offer that, since the endorsement was for the subcommittee, you know, and you know, for the players that are on that, it doesn't eliminate task force members and going to those functions and meetings, but allow that to happen. You know, we talked about parallel processes and things. Yeah, why not allow the staff, the task force, the subcommittee members, rather, work on that issue? And then I know you, then staff could bring you, or anyone that wants one, a demo, you can bring it to the state. We could bring it to the state.
Yeah.
We'll just have to be in communication about that. Aren't we already set up, Holly, to meet with someone from the state? Are we? Staff?
Yeah, I mean, water quality is.
When?
The 28th.
Okay, so at least we have that booked when they're back in town. I think that was part of the issue, their schedule. So that's coming up. That doesn't have to be the same or different. You might be able to get it there faster, frankly. But I guess what I was trying to say, you know, a subcommittee would be, in my opinion, a great way to allow them to move that forward.
Yeah, tonight was the first time we met as a subcommittee, and so what they are right now is just providing the actual demos for us. So once we get that, then we'll be able to meet again. So that's where we are, is just going to get some viable demos to work with.
I personally feel like I signed up for this task force and I have a responsibility to all of the people that are involved here, and I personally feel like as of right now, 2 weeks is kind of pushing what's going on, and so I would like to see us come back to the table in 1 week, even if it's not perfect, to continue making progress. I would like, you know, this 1 week to hopefully come back to the task force and the table with vetting all other solutions, whether that be, you know, bringing in technology experts in different fields, bringing more to the table on the possibilities that One Boat, One Lake could use. I just need time to digest it, other than this 2 hours, and to kind of help vet those. But I just personally feel like we owe the community, you know, progress in this, in our time, and that's what we signed up for. So my personal opinion is that we should come back to the table next week on this.
I agree.
Well, that's kind of what I was asking, was do we want to come back next week, or do we want to wait 2 weeks? Because I would love to be playing with whatever they come up with as soon as possible. And so if next Tuesday works, I'm good with that.
I'm fine.
I'm good.
Okay. Also, if you can put in the technology on the ankle bracelet, whether you talk to the courts or the police department and see their view on the technology, I'm not saying that would be the exact way we'd implement it.
I had an account executive to reach out from U.S. Fleet Tracking, so I can get in touch with him and see if he has options that we can vet, or if he would be available.
And I'll go to our golf staff. And I already have the program. Just a matter of how would we, you know, utilize it. So yeah.
I've been in one of those carts.
You've had that?
Go
it starts
in
going
there,
like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then it alerts the office. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And they chase you down.
So next Tuesday at 6 o'clock. We just need to know where.
Yeah, we'll figure that out. Yep. Unless you did you already have a tentative or not yet? It's okay.
Not in this room, it's booked.
We'll figure it out. Don't worry. We'll get to that. We'll send you an email. Make sure it's posted, the agenda, and all that ASAP. But so Tuesday though at 6 o'clock, 21st.
Does that give you guys enough time to get some demos?
Yeah, we're working.
Yeah, make sure.
Okay. Any other comments, questions, suggestions? You guys all good?
Yeah, for the moment.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be something 5 minutes after I leave.
As a reminder, anytime something comes up during the week or for some reason you can't make the meeting, staff is fully available. If you guys want to meet with me and share ideas, input, follow up on questions, just let me know.
Okay? Do you have a phone number?
Oh, you don't have it? Yeah, I don't either.
All we have is just the website.
Yeah, Angie will grab a stack of cards and make sure you have all my numbers. Yeah, sorry about that.
I actually thought about that today.
I think it's in your signature block, isn't it?
It is, but my cell phone's on my card, which you can give me at any time.
Okay.
Because I was going to meet with you for the meeting that I missed.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. We'll get you a stack of cards.
You're up to speed.
No,
I don't think you really missed anything.
Yeah, the last meeting was really good about showing what was being proposed in the bag.
As long as we are working in parallel, we check out these other solutions. So if we have to go from plan A to plan B or C.
Yeah, I was disappointed to hear about the tape. I thought
the information started.
There's a solution out there. We just got to find
it. Get it.
I have a hard time buying the tape failure. I just don't see it. Gas station is the perfect example.
But that's my point, is I wasn't thinking about it failing per se, because we've used it enough. Mm-hmm. But I didn't think about that someone else could go buy that. They break it and then go ahead and put another one that's identical counterfeit to it, and you wouldn't know. That's why it concerns me now that the gas pumps aren't totally safe if you see a tag on it.
Well, even most gas stations are covered, so they're not going to have the kind of elements that a boat mm-hmm. with a tag that's uncovered. I don't know. There may very well be a tape out there. I'm not really ready to write that off yet exactly, but I don't see that the gas station is a different example than what we would be exposed to out there, unless we're going to invest in a big cover over 250 boats, which I don't see happening.
That'd be awesome if we pull it off.
Put solar panels on the top.
Well, folks, I really appreciate your work. I know you're putting so much time into this. I know we had these moments of movement and back and all that, but none of this would be happening, even these conversations, without you. So thank you.
But I think we could put tape on the inside of the boat, either on the steering wheel or the throttle.
Well, it just doesn't control the tag being changed.
Yeah, it's a step that doesn't need to be taken. Or
in addition to that, if they're worried about, oh, well, anything can get tampered with, the more redundancy you have, just like in airplanes.
And honestly, 24 voters, I don't think we're dealing with hackers. These are just people that, hey, I can take the DRM.
It was
off.
The cheap way out, too.
And so that's easy. I mean, that's
again,
a no-brainer.
It's one of those things that I never thought of.
If you can break that tagging system 2.0,
no, I
agree.
Without a nose,
you're at another level. We're not dealing with the average Joe.
I'm sorry, did you throw that upside down? Wayne, you should have mine for the advisory board. I'm going to make sure you have
it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, no problem.
Hey, Angie.
Yes.
Before we leave, I wanted to give you a little token of our appreciation for everything you do for this task force.
But I brought up the GPS anchor tag in conjunction with the one boat one.
I feel like we should give you a standing ovation with it, just so you feel appreciated.
You got
to
get gas.
You got to,
you know.
Put together.
Yay, this is beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You know what makes me happy? Making Angie happy. We're good.
Well, Angie, you've been a great help for us in getting everything organized, these binders, everything. We really do appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for everything.
Yeah, thank you. Meeting adjourned?
Yes, meeting adjourned.
Thank you, guys. Do you want me to grab anything, Angie?
Nope, I got it. I'm going to get the wagon and...